I'd like to focus today on the doctrine of the Trinity, what we just sang, that we may make a sincere confession of our faith. And I know the word doctrine can be a little off-putting, but it just means teaching. I spend a lot of my life teaching students, teaching relevance. And I'd like to look at the Trinity today as a teaching with power. I think most teachers out there, right, would say they actually teach in order to have an impact, or they teach for real-life applications or for purpose. And that's a good way to focus on the Trinity. And I guess if we remember nothing else about the Trinity, we can always remember how God sees us, right, through the cross of Jesus Christ, forgiven in Him. And when someone asks us about our faith, we use relational talk about God, because God loves us as a Father, as a Son, as a Holy Spirit, and sees us through the mercy of the cross of Jesus. That's keeping it simple, but down through the centuries, Christians have thought a lot about what the Trinity is. And today is one Sunday in the church year where we actually focus on a teaching, not just an event, the teaching of the Trinity. The teaching of the Trinity is revealed all throughout the Bible, right there in the very beginning. God, through the Spirit, hovers over the waters, and God speaks His Word, which is identified as Jesus. God the Father, Spirit, the Son, create the world. And if we're not reading the Bible correctly or seeing it, we're going to miss the Trinity. The Trinity is found in Scripture for us to receive. And teaching of the Trinity, or doctrine, from the very beginning of creation meant power. God's Word created. God's Word gave power. And that's a good way to focus on the Trinity. This doctrine is powerful. God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is God-breathed, we say, or inspired. It's full of power. The word inspired actually means to breathe life into it. Comes right out of Genesis, of the Spirit of God, full of power. In the New Testament, in Romans, the gospel is called the dynamite. We get the word in English, or the power of God to blow up sin and death and to give us the life eternal in Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning of creation, God wants and desires to be understood as powerful and as real in our life. That in all of our ways, Scripture says, we would acknowledge the power of God and lean not on our own power or understanding. And God reveals Himself as one God in three persons, as Christians have formulated it from Scripture: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, having taught the Trinity before, right, I do a lot of teaching. There's a general response I find over the years to the biblical doctrine or teaching of the Trinity. Maybe like a lot of doctrines or teachings, like, oh yeah, I got that. Check the box. I can say it. I think I know it. Let's move on to something else. But it's interesting, right? When Christians say this, I'm not sure they're getting the full application of the Trinity. The Trinity, of course, is not a box to check. It's not just a statement of faith. It's actually the very power of God in our life. And it's actually putting God then kind of in a box, isn't it? To check and to keep and to understand when something we can understand and yet has power over us to use us in daily life for its good. At least this has been my experience in teaching what the Bible says about the Trinity. Another reaction I often get is that, well, look, the Trinity is totally a mystery. We can't understand it. And yet we had a whole creed of Christians trying to make sense of what the Bible says about the Trinity, because wouldn't we want to know more about that power in our life? Wouldn't we want to know more about the one who loves us and we love? You can't love what you don't know. And the Trinity is God known to us. It's not just a mystery. It's relevance and power in our life. And I think if I could be bold enough, I think by saying it's a statement of faith or by saying it's a mystery is a way to keep God kind of out there, to keep God maybe in a Sunday pulpit, but not in our hearts and not on Monday morning at work. God finds this crazy. We could say it's sinful, it is, to put God in a box or ignore God's power. He wants to give it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and 24/7. To put God or the teaching of Trinity in a box or a check is just to ignore that power in our life. And God is at work all of the time for us. The doctrine of the Trinity then is about the power of God. And we really see that in our second reading today in Acts. It's a powerful event, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come upon those fearful disciples gathered together and led them out and given them the ability to speak clearly in many languages about who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And right there in our reading today, we have a wonderful statement of the power of the Trinity. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 33. This Jesus God raised up, we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured this out. We are seeing and hearing. Did you catch the words from Peter here of power in the Sermon on the Trinity? God the Father raised up Jesus from the dead. Power. Receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit. More power. Pouring out the Holy Spirit. Even more power. Where there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's power. There's a lot of power. There are a lot of verbs. There are a lot of actions. And as Scripture says, God does not then... Do you know that verse? God does not give us a spirit of what? Of fear or shyness in Christ, but a spirit of power, a spirit of self-control, a spirit of love. If you want to act like everyone else and not be a Christian, well, go on and forget self-control. And go on and take power for yourself and do what you want and tell other people to do what you want. I think we've got enough of that. That's not the Jesus way. This power is poured out. This power changes lives. This power is full of love. And where do we need more of this power in our lives? I think we could all use more of it. Our second reading says God's power raises Jesus. God's power raises. It raises the bar of what we could do. It raises us up each day. God's power of the Holy Spirit promises. Promises are true in Jesus. It keeps on pouring out or giving. God the Father raises Jesus, of course, God's Son from the dead. And death is not the end for us. Through faith in Jesus, we have life eternal. And this means we're given not ultimately a spirit of fear, but a power even over death. Power of God's eternal life in Jesus. Every day we can rise up in that power. Every day a practice of the resurrection to come. God's power gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in a world that doesn't keep its promises, this one is kept. God pours that promise into our hearts. Given in abundance for more strength in our lives. If we try and find this power in ourselves, if we just try and work harder, do more, be better, we're never going to get this power of God. Because that's the wonderful and strange thing about this power. You can't fully understand it, and you definitely can't control it. As Jesus said, the Spirit blows where it wills. That's why we just don't understand the Trinity, but we do confess it. We confess, as Christians put it, the doctrine of the Trinity, that we would get power. God the Father sends His Son in the Spirit. Father and Son send the Spirit power for our lives. And just like we don't understand the Trinity, but confess it, and that word is chosen carefully, we let God be power in our lives. What else do we confess? We usually use that word to confess our sins or confess our need. We don't lean on our own understanding or own power. God's power is active in us. And Scripture puts it this way, in a wonderful, almost final word on power. It says, in our weakness, we are strong. God's grace, His power, is at work in us. We live in a city that does not see weakness as any kind of strength, who sees meekness as falling over and letting other people walk on top of you. But in Jesus Christ, we know that we can never really do better. We know that our strength is found in the grace of Jesus Christ, and that in Him, we can begin to follow. We can begin to confess His power in our life. We begin to do what is possible in and through Him. He can do better through us. After all, the ultimate confession of the Trinity is praise, right? That's where it all ends. The Athanasian Creed, tricky words, but meant to actually build up, if you will, getting it right. Build up a cathedral of praise, a confession of who God is. It's praise. To not understand God, but to praise God. To confess His glory, which surpasses our understanding. And to understand then that the only way we can get through each day is because of God's power and God's sovereign might and God's promises in Jesus to be with us. God's pouring out of the Holy Spirit to make us better in Christ and through Christ. For when we are weak, we are strong in the Lord and His power to save. Amen.